So this is an experiment, or as they call it in Chicago, an experiment. That's what they say. The experiment is learning at this time, before we start our week, as kind of things get going. And we're going to do this on a three-week trial basis. And if everyone hates it, so then we will not continue. But if it works, then we should continue. So let's see how it goes. Let's
think positive.
All right, thank you. Let's start with that in mind. And we're calling this Power Torah, and that's because it's going to be a brief presentation, not more than a half hour, so that by 10 o'clock you can be wherever you need to be, because everybody has places to go and things to do. But I wanted to focus on that term for a second, because I think it's going to relate to what we're going to learn and why it's important, especially today. Because the word power has two different connotations. One has to do with control, and the other has to do with energy. And they are very different. The first one has become a hugely problematic phenomenon in society at large, but even within our community. And that is the use or abuse of some power, some authority, some weight in exploiting people. And so there are people who use the Torah as a tool of power, and they exploit people. I am conscious of the fact that I am in a group of women, and that all you need to do is open the newspaper, and you will find people who use their power, especially when it comes to women, to exploit and abuse people. But there is a whole nother meaning of the word power that is beautiful, and it's illuminating, and it's energizing. In downtown Baltimore, where I grew up, so they when they redid the downtown, there was a next to the aquarium, there was an old power plant. And I don't know exactly when they shut it down, but it had been dormant for a very long time. And then they reconstituted it as a venue. They have a Barnes & Noble there, and for a period of time they had an ESPN thing there. That power plant has nothing to do with controlling people. I think for a while ComEd had a slogan that said, "Power your way." And that didn't mean that the people in ComEd are controlling what we do in our house. It meant that they're giving us energy. And so when we learn, as we learn in the year 2017, someone who is a rabbi, I'm very mindful and conscious of the fact that we need to distinguish between those two, and we need to be focused on facilitating a Torah in our community, which is powering your way, which is energizing, which is empowering to people. And that's really the focus of this learning. As someone said to me, please don't teach Hilchos Shabbos. That's the goal, right? As long as we don't teach Hilchos Shabbos, we're going to be fine. So we're not going to teach Hilchos Shabbos. We could do that a different time. But the idea was to share Torah, which is powerful. Powerful meaning it has an energy to it. It's an idea that you can take away and carry it through your week, which is why we're going to start the week with this. And so to do that, I wanted to look to a sefer that probably some of you have never even heard of. And maybe at first glance you would say, wow, that's an odd choice to learn. I'm looking at a sefer here, which you're holding in front of you. It's called Alei Shur. Alei Shur, which I guess literally means go up ox. It's based on a pasuk in the brachos that Yaakov gave to Yosef. And this sefer was authored initially, it was actually, if you look on the inside cover, it was published anonymously, although everybody knew who it was, in 1966 by a man by the name of Rav Shlomo Wolbe. Rav Wolbe had been a prominent teacher, a mashgiach, an ethical teacher, for years before he published this important work. He then published a second work. He published, I think this was posthumously, his family published two collections of his letters. And he wrote this book, and I thought that it would be really important, if anybody didn't get it, It would be important to share because it's a very powerful book. It's an incredibly empowering and inspiring work. And it had a huge impact on me, and I'm hoping that you'll also find it meaningful. Rav Volpe was born in 1914, and his life was changed when he went as a young person to the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, where he met Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch. Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch was the mashkiach, which means he was kind of the spiritual mentor to the boys in the yeshiva. He took care of their emotional well-being, their psychological well-being. He was a tremendously insightful person. His influence is wide-ranging, and especially in the world of, let's say, emotional development, psychology. Dr. Pelkovitz will often quote Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch because he had a really unique insight into people and how people tick. And so he looked out for the boys, and this experience that Rav Shlomo Volpe had really changed his life, and it transformed the way that he looked at himself and the way that he looked at people. And then he spent the war in Sweden, and the whole long story, which is not pertinent to us right now, and then he made it to Israel, and he became arguably the most famous mashkiach of the 20th century. And his influence is really vast. Now there are institutes that carry on his work. So he was, I guess you would call him, a student of the Musar movement, which focuses on ethical personal development. Now, there are different streams in the Musar movement. I'm not an expert on the Musar movement in any way. But in the introduction to Ali Shur, Rav Volpe writes, he says, and it's kind of paraphrasing, he says, I'm not here to give you new Musar Svarim. But you know what I am here to try to share in these essays? He says, my job is to take the classical teachings and bring them to life in our day and our age. That's going to be my role. That's going to be my contribution. And because he was so in tune with what was going on in the lives of his students, people flocked to him from everywhere with every kind of problem seeking his advice. So that's what I wanted to share with you these next couple of weeks. So this is not going to be finding a chap. This year is not going to be building tremendous building. It's going to be focusing each week on a piece from this sefer, Ali Shur. And this sefer was written by a mashkiach for Yeshiva Bachrim. Looking? Still not. But my goal is that by the end of this, at least by this morning, you will see that what Rav Volpe writes about Yeshiva Bachrim really is pertinent to everyone. And that the insights, the powerful insights that he gave to his students, that really gave them a lift, that picked them up, and sometimes many of them came to him with a lot of challenges. And it gave them the koach to keep going. So I was first introduced to the Sefer when I was learning in yeshiva in Kerem Biavna. I left high school after 11th grade. I was 16 years old. And I didn't really speak much Hebrew, but somehow somebody gave me the idea, or I got the idea, that I should set up a chavrusa with the Rosh Yeshiva, which was an interesting experience because he didn't really speak any English and I didn't really speak any Hebrew. But he was a very, you know, gracious person. And he decided that we were going to learn Ali Shur together. And he introduced me to this teaching that I'm going to share with you today, which is an incredibly powerful teaching in my life now. And I'm hoping that it'll be meaningful to you. So this is in Perek Chamishi, in the fifth Perek, what he calls Yimei Ha'ava V'Yimei Ha'Sina V'Hayiyush. So on the right-hand side, you have the numbers. On the left-hand side, you have the letters. And we're going to follow it in Hebrew. I'm going to translate every word. I know that not everybody here is fluent in Hebrew or is familiar with rabbinic Hebrew. But we're really going to learn it together. If text-based learning is not for you, then this might be horrible. Says Rav Volpe in line number one. The title of this perek is Yimei Ha'ava, the days of the love, V'Yimei Ha'Sina, the days of the hate, V'Hayiyush, and the despair. Kol HaNimtza Tekufa Mimusheches B'Makom Torah. Anybody who is found for a consistent period of time in a place of Torah, Makir Heitev, he recognizes readily, Zmanei Ho'Aliyah V'Zmanei HaYerida, the times of up, the times when things are good, and the times when things are down, when we struggle. Hamischalfim Tadir, that they constantly switch. Bizman Ho'Aliyah, in the times when things are good. Hatzlacha, Kalus Hatfisa, things are grasped easily, We have Hatzlacha. We have all kinds, and he's talking in words of Yeshiva Bacham, but I'll translate it into our world. You know, we have an easier time with relationships. We have a better time in our davening. We connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam easier. That's when things are going well. Ubizman Hayurida, line number 3, when things are down. Ksha'im Batfisa, things we have a difficult time grasping them. We struggle. Stimas Hamayonos, the wellsprings are closed. Kvedus Batfila, heaviness in our davening. Verichuk Mechaverim. And we feel distant from our friends. We feel alone. We feel lonely. These are the two periods that we experience, he says, in our religious lives and our emotional lives. And now he's going to do something incredible. He's going to say, let's turn back the clock. If you turn back the clock 900 years, and you were living in France, there's one man who would dominate your world. And this man continues to dominate the world, primarily of Ashkenazi Jews. And his name is Rabbeinu Yaakov, known as nickname as Rabbeinu Tam, one of the, perhaps the greatest Bala Tosfos. Of the Tosfos school, he's living in the suburbs of Paris. Rabbeinu Tam dies in the year 1171. Rabbeinu Tam wrote important, literally transformational perspectives on Talmud. He also wrote other things, including something called the Sefer HaYasha, which is a small collection of letters of tshuvas. So Rav Volbe now goes on to quote a teaching from the Rabbeinu Tam, which is incredible. It's amazing. And it relates to Rav Volbe's description of what we go through as people through these different periods. He says, look at Rabbeinu Tam writes in line number 6. Kol maschil lasos shum maisa. Anybody who starts doing something, im yielo b'maisa hu shum hana, if you enjoy that thing that you do, tikanis bo hataiva. So what's going to happen? You're going to be motivated to pursue it. You have something that captures your interest, so you're going to pursue it. There's going to be an initial attraction to this pursuit. Let's say, some of you know, I don't have a smartphone, I'm not on these various things, but Muhammad just got introduced to this thing called peas and carrots. I forget exactly what the name of it is. Something on Instagram, I think that's what it is. Instagram, right? Something about peas and carrots?
And love. Right.
Peas, love, and carrots. Great. Thank you. So what happens when you get introduced to a new recipe line? You see a new recipe. Rabbeinu Tam says you get very excited about this. You see this recipe, you're like, oh, it only requires one bowl. I'm in. So Rabbeinu Tam, that's my kind of recipe. So Rabbeinu Tam says, what happens when you initially engage in something? You get very excited about it. V'achakach toser v'tikanis belibo, belibo hasina. But then you know what happens over time? As you pursue that thing, you find sometimes frustration, or even sinna, even anger, or resentment. You know, you're making the same thing every time. I mean, this is how I got into cooking in the first place, when I had the chutzpah, the audacity to complain to my mother when I was in high school that she made the same chicken recipe every Friday night. So at that time, I was only doing baking. She's like, all right, you want to make the chicken? So make it yourself. So I started. The problem is that when you pick up only one recipe, you make the same thing many, many times, at a certain point, you get tired of it. So Rabbeinu Tam is saying that you're going to get tired. You're not going to be as excited about this project, about this book, about this commitment as you were the first time. And then the Rabbeinu Tam says, V'chein yischal fu tamid. He says, what's going to happen? This is going to repeat itself cyclically. It's going to happen all the time. You're in a relationship with somebody. Over periods of time, you feel very close. And then you go through periods of dry spells where you don't feel so close. And then you reconnect. V'chahena v'chahena. This is the cycle that the Rabbeinu Tam is talking about in the 12th century in France. How true it is. Not that, God forbid, he needs my askama. So then he says, however, line number 9, Achim tia ha'anas ha'ovid ba'avodaso gedola, but if you're really passionate about it, v'yesh lo seichel, and you have intellect, you're paying attention to it, Tamod ha'ava yamim rabim v'hasina yamim mispar. The period of time when you're excited about it will be longer, and the frustration period will be shorter. What happens in life when we're committed to something and we're not excited about it? Then maybe once in a while we'll feel good about it, but the predominant time is going to be a down. So you're going to go through the cycle, Rabbi Nutam says. Either way, the question is, are we most of the time on the top feeling good about it, or are we on the bottom? That's really the question. Where's the proportion? So he has something interesting to say on line number 13. V'kasher yischalfu pa'amim rabos, when these things, they turn through many times, im yischachu la'adam chidushim tovim ba'avodaso, os tosif ha'ava v'tigdal. If you introduce new things into this project that you love, it's going to increase your excitement about it. You're working on a project, you're planning for something. When something new comes up that gets you excited, so you re-engage in the project. What happens when, and this happens to many of us, we're in a dead-end project. We're pursuing something and we find it's really annoying. Then you know what happens when the new things come up? It just makes it even more annoying. Because you have to pay more attention to the new things that were annoying you in the first place. You're in a rut with somebody in a relationship, and then that person does something and makes you even more annoyed than if they would just leave you alone, and vice versa. So when there's some newness, it accentuates where you are. So if you're in a good place, when that person calls you or they text you, you're like, that's awesome. And if you're not in a good place, it's just like, oh, I totally cannot deal with this now. And it makes it more annoying, the Rabbi Nutam is saying. Tosif Hasina. So therefore, let's go down to line number 18. Va'al Kain. He says, because we know this is cyclical, Ein Tzarech B'tchila Sa'avoda, you don't need at the beginning of your work, Aravodas Hashem, Lios Choshesh Im Yakutzba, Ki Zeh Mishpat Ha'ava B'tchilasa. He says, when we engage in any enterprise, as we cultivate our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we daven, as we learn, as we take on anything in our Avodas Hashem, before we start, when we're still excited about it, we shall tell ourselves, don't worry, one day we're not going to be in the mood. And that's okay. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when one day you turn around and you're just like, you know what? I'm not inspired anymore. I'm not interested today. Because that happens. What's the fear? The fear is that when a person doesn't anticipate that, when a person becomes frustrated when they're at the bottom, if they don't realize that it's cyclical, so then they're going to bail out, Rahman al-Islam. They're going to say, oh, you know, this is not for me. Rahman al-Islam, there are people in the world, when they get in their life to the bottom, they have a hard time seeing back to the top. Rahman al-Islam, it's a real challenge that some people struggle with. It's a deep psychological challenge. So Rav Volbe is quoting this Rabbi Nutam to say, look, we're going to go through these things in life. No meirosh that it's going to happen. Anticipate it so you're not broken. It's okay. He says, Kizeh, line 19, Kizeh mishpat ho'ava b'tchilasa, ki tagia letachlis yodua, it will reach its ultimate goal, v'techdal, and it will stop. You won't be excited about it anymore. And then what's going to happen? It'll get better. Line 21 at the end. Va'al Kain, therefore, Tzorach HaMaskil, a person who is intelligent, Bir Oso, when he sees Ki Tikones Hasina Belibo, when the frustration and the anger grows in his heart, V'yakutz Bavoda, and we're frustrated in our Avodas Hashem, in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lebal Yaniach Kol HaMaiseh, don't leave it all. Don't abandon it. Va'al yomar, don't say, aniach hakol, I'll abandon it, ata now, va'achakach echzor aleh. Don't say, you know what, I'm not feeling inspired for davening today, I'm not going to daven anything. I'll daven when I'm inspired. Why? Ki im yaniach hakol, line 23 at the end, if you leave everything, yovad miyado, it will be lost from your hand. V'im yachzik mimenu b'miktzaso, lo yovad. If you hold on to it even in a little bit, it will not be lost. A person spends 25 minutes a day l'mashal, davening. One day, they're so harried, they're so torrid, they're so not inspired. They say, I'm not in the mood to daven. Davening is not for me today. I'm not obligated to daven. I'm not going to daven today. I'm not in the mood. I'm angry with the Rabbeinu Shalom about something. I'm angry with somebody else. I'm frustrated. I don't have time. Rabbeinu Tam says, first of all, realize you shouldn't be surprised. If you've had geshmak davening for a week, don't be surprised if one day it hits you in the head and you're not in the mood to daven anymore. So Rabbeinu Tam is telling you, that's okay, number one. And number two, it doesn't mean that you have to pretend that you're going to still do the same thing that you did the last time. You don't necessarily have to push yourself to force yourself if that's not the bare minimum that's required. He says, what should you do? Yachzik mimenu b'miktzaso. So maybe if today you're not going to have time for the whole davening, and you're not going to focus on the whole davening, so you take a piece of the davening. B'miktzaso, and then lo yovad, because you stick with it, and then tomorrow, when you have a little bit better menuchas and nefesh, when you feel a little bit better, when you're more connected, you'll go back to the previous, but you haven't lost it all, but you have validated the fact that it's okay that you're having a hard day with the davening. And this, Rav Volbi says in line number 25, Bezeh, with this, Makif Sefer HaYosher Eskol Mahalach HaTkufas HaOvers Aleinu Ba'avodas Hashem. With this, we are Makif. We can grasp the entirety. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer HaYosher guess, Kol Mahalach HaTkufot. All of the period of the process of the periods HaOvers Aleinu that pass over us in Avodas Hashem. And what should we do? Line 26 at the end. Therefore, once we know that it's cyclical, ve'ein lehisya'esh klal bihigia yemei hasina. Do not be despondent. Do not despair when you're not feeling well, when you're not up to it, when you're not in the mood, when it's a day of sinna, when you're frustrated and you're resentful. Don't be misya'esh. Kemokin ein gam lotzeis legamri mikol ha'avoda b'yameim ha'elu. And also he says, though, don't abandon it totally in these days. Because otherwise, says, God forbid, kim yaniach ha'kol yovad mimenu. If you place it all, if you leave it all, it'll be lost from you. Ella, line 28, yeka la'atzmo ma'at. Give yourself a little bit of space. Give yourself a little bit of leeway. Don't be so hard on yourself. Avol yachzik mimenu b'miktzaso. Hold fast to a little bit. B'chol machir, at any cost. Whatever it's going to take, don't lose your commitment. Don't lose the continuity of your avodas Hashem. Ki oz lo yafzid es asher hisikvar. Then you won't lose what you have accomplished in the past. And then he concludes with the last note, and with this we'll finish. He says, what did the Rabbeinu Tam say helps jumpstart things when we're in the good spot? Chidush, new things, novelties, adding something. Top of the left column, line A. What is lahagboras ha'ava al hasina? What helps? Hahana'a, enjoyment, v'hachidush, and novelty. Kol hana'a v'kol chidush beruchnius magbirimis ha'ava. That means we might find a new shir to listen to in the car. We might find a new niggun to listen to. We might find a new part of davening. We might find a new book. We might find a new person to talk to. When we're finding those new things that are giving us a geshmak, when it feels like it's more exciting, our avodas Hashem, so then that's going to give us a little more chizuk. The Piasetzner Rebbe Hashem Yikom Damo Zchus Yagan Aleinu Rav Kolomis Kalman Shapira, he writes in his diary, he says, you know, people are looking for excitement in their lives. He wrote this in the 1930s. He said, I don't think they had, in I don't know how many horror films they had in Warsaw, or how many roller coasters they had. But you see this people, maybe even some people in this room, I suspect, people wait online for an hour to go in a machine that turns you upside down and throws you through like a building in a little tin can. And people find that exciting. They love it. People wait online for hours and pay a lot of money for this. I watch those people from my bench. I sit on, whenever we go to the music room, I sit on the bench and I watch. And I get a lot of geschmack that my feet don't leave the floor. But why do people do that? Because people are looking for a thrill. People enjoy a thrill. That's why they go see a horror movie. That's why they go on a roller coaster. So P.S. Hetzner writes in his diary, he says, you know, people are hardwired to look for a thrill. And if we don't give people a thrill in their Yiddishkeit, they're going to find it somewhere else. So even though Yiddishkeit is not all about fun, it's about happiness, you know, and the Torah is not some kind of Stephen Covey self-help book, but the idea that we can find ways to add inspiration, to add something that feels uplifting, that's exciting, that's thrilling. You know, I find it for myself, and it's important. As some of you know, I'm doing sometimes, on occasion, Holocaust research. Sometimes that's very hard. Sometimes that's very down. But sometimes you find a story that's such an exciting story, such an amazing story, that even my kids are making fun of me, that I keep telling the story in the house that I happen to find. So it's a pick-me-up. It's a jolt of energy. So Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Volbe are telling us that we're going to focus, as we go through this week, in finding ways in our Avodas Hashem, in whatever form that is going to play itself out in, to recognize that there are these cycles of Yimei Ava and Yimei Sina, and to sprinkle in there, when we can find that time for Ava, to sprinkle in something new, something Gishmak, something that we like, and let that carry us forward in our, hopefully, extended period of Yimei Ava, of our connectedness in Avodas Hashem. So I thank you all for coming. I hope you have a great week.